Today's text is 1 Kings chapter 18, the last part of the chapter, verses 41 through 46. I want to talk to you on the topic, a cloud like a hand. You may be familiar with this particular story, which is a neat story in the Bible. And of course, the Bible has a lot of good stories, but this story makes the point that people need in their lives to have faith. They need to pray. They need to see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Have you heard somebody preach on that before? Perhaps you have. Maybe someone here has preached on it before. But I hope you'll get a blessing from the message here today as we think on that from 1 Kings chapter number 18. I want us to read that, and then I'll go back and make some comments on it. So please follow with me as we begin our reading now in verse number 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, having read those verses, as indicated earlier, we'll come back to them. So please hold your place there. And let me share these introductory thoughts with you, that the most important thing in the world is to become a Christian. I hope everybody got that clearly. The most important thing in the world is to become a Christian, to know Christ as your Savior. Every Christian should then want to live for God and should make the effort to do so. And living for God includes talking to Him in prayer. I would like to think that at least most people here today know something about prayer, that you know enough about it to where you communicate with the Lord in prayer in your own life. Listen, we're not perfect, but we need to remember the important things. We need to make the effort to pray, not just talk about prayer. There's a difference between talking about prayer and praying. Don't we know that's true? But we need to make the effort to pray, believing that God will hear and answer our prayers. Now, believing doesn't mean that we know how or when God will answer our prayers, but it means that we have enough faith to believe that God can and will hear and answer the prayers of His people. Listen, He knows better than we do how our prayers need to be answered. Don't you think? He knows better than we do. So we should pray not with vain repetition, but with persistence and faith. So this message focuses on prayer in the sense that we need to be persistent. Don't get down and defeated just because you don't see an immediate answer to some prayer that you might pray, but just keep on, keeping on. Keep on and go to the Lord with your concern and have that firm faith. Be stable. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be like a leaf blown in the wind, but have that faith that God can hear and answer your prayers. Listen, prayer is not always easy. It's been said before, and I think rightly so, that prayer is work. It takes effort because, you see, prayer is not just quoting a poem. Prayer is not just saying a few little fancy words. Prayer is speaking from your heart to the God of heaven and earth, the God who gave us life to live, and I'm glad we have the privilege to do that, aren't you? Amen. And the Bible says the prayer of the upright is His delight. God does not delight in all our mistakes and wrongdoings, but He delights in the prayers of His people. Please think on that. If you, as a Christian, make the effort to pray, that makes God's heart glad, so to speak. It delights Him when His people come to Him in prayer. So yes, let's think about persistent prayer, not just sporadic prayer, but persistent prayer and firm faith. So again, prayer can take effort. Prayer is not always easy, especially in the midst of difficult circumstances, but it's always right, and it's always for our good. Even if we don't see the future, which we don't like God does, prayer is always right, and it's always for our good. Listen, the prophet Elijah that we just read about was one of many prophets used by God. Elijah had his ups and downs in life too. He got discouraged, but in this story, he was certainly being used of God in a great way, and he knew how to pray even when things were tough. And maybe you do too. And if you do, God bless you for that. And I'm glad for you that you know how to pray. He knew how to pray even when things were tough. He knew how to pray even though he ministered for God during the reign of Ahab, a very wicked king of Israel. Now, it's an effort to pray when everything seems to be going well, but it can make it more challenging when you're having all kinds of stuff going on in life where even the king is bad. And the Bible tells us how bad he was. So please think on this with me. The Bible says that Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord all that were before him. That's a big, strong statement, isn't it? He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, or the sight of the Lord, above or more than all that were before him. It says similarly that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. That's not the testimony anybody needs. That's not the epitaph you need on your tombstone. He was evil. His wife was too. The Bible makes it plain. It's not just preacher talk, not just hollow talk. The Bible makes it plain. He was a wicked king, and his wife Jezebel was a wicked queen. And Elijah was being used of God during that time when all this was going on with wickedness in the land. Well, Ahab and the people of Israel were involved in idolatry. Now that leads into what we read here today. They were involved in idolatry, but God knew all about it. Let me tell you, God knows about everything we do. He knows if we know him. He knows if we worship him. He knows if people bow down to statues. He knows that even if you don't do that, if you have no room for him in your life, he knows all about it. He knew what was going on here too. And so Ahab and the people of Israel were involved in idolatry. God knew about it. And sometimes he does things to bring judgment or to get people's attention. You know what happened? God sent a drought. No dew, no rain. Now, you might think, oh, we went a month or two without rain, and that would get our attention, wouldn't it? But do you know, in this case, it was a lot longer than a month or two. God sent a drought with no dew and no rain, no moisture, you might say, that led to famine in the land. And God used Elijah. Now, you might think, well, why did God have to send Elijah to tell the king about this? The best answer I have is that God was working in the whole situation. And whenever this happened, the king was going to possibly remember, oh, that prophet of God named Elijah told me about this. And by the way, if you try to witness to somebody about the Lord, I'm very serious, and that person may not seem to be interested, you never know, and you might not know this side of heaven, but the day might come when that person will start thinking on things and might be like, oh, I remember when so-and-so talked to me about that, or tried to, and I wouldn't listen. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Let that be encouraging, because if you're trying to do what the Lord wants you to do, people may act like they're not interested, and that may be because they're not interested. But the day might come, whether we realize it or not, that they become interested. And so God knows all about it. And heaven has accurate records. Aren't you glad to know that? Heaven has accurate records. One of these days we'll give an account at the judgment seat of Christ for what we've done or not done. And I'm thinking I'll come up short. But oh, listen, folks, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love down here, and he is not unjust. He will be exactly right when he rewards us in the future. But here was Elijah being used of God, and one of his duties was to go and tell this wicked king what was about to happen. You might think that, well, if that was me, I'd just have to ask the Lord to get somebody else. And there may be people who in their actions sort of do things that way. But if God wants you to do something or me to do something, then whether we do it or not, the right thing is to do what God leads us to do. And so Elijah was being used of God to go and tell Ahab about the drought that was coming. Now, I don't think Ahab had much room for Elijah, do you? Remember, he was wicked. There was a lot of idolatry in the land. And so here is Elijah going to give him a message, and he had to go and tell Ahab about this coming drought. And that drought, folks, lasted for 3.5 years. How do we know that? Because that's what the Bible says. Let me give you a verse from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4, verse 25 says, "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up." You got that? When the heaven was shut up, no rain, "for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land." So that makes sense, doesn't it? God stopped the rain. He stopped the dew. He sent the drought. The drought led to famine. That's the progression, isn't it? He was getting people's attention. Well, do you know the time came, even for those 3.5 years, to wind down. And when the time came for the famine to be coming to an end, God used the same prophet named Elijah to go to the same king named Ahab and to say, "Ahab," now I can't put words in Elijah's mouth, but I wonder if it's so like, "Ahab, I told you what God said, that the drought was coming. It happened, didn't it?" But here he's coming to let him know it's about to end. He went to tell Ahab that rain was coming. Now that will get your attention if you've been through 3.5 years of drought and famine. People maybe even starving. That will get your attention, whether you're a wicked king or a godly king. And so Ahab had that message coming to him from Elijah. And we know Elijah prayed about it. How do we know he prayed? We're going to come to what we read here again in 1 Kings. But let me read to you from the book of James. Isn't it interesting how one part of the Bible sheds light on another part? Oh, that's the beauty of God's word, and one of the beautiful things about it. Here, let me read this to you. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know what that means in simple terms? Elijah was just as human as you and I are. But God used him. And God wants to use others in his service. And God will hear and answer the prayers of his people. I have no doubt about that. And so Elijah was a man like we are. And the Bible goes on to say, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. You mean Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain? Why would a man do that? Maybe it was because his heart was burdened due to the idolatry in the land and due to people not having any room for God in their lives. The Bible says again, he prayed earnestly. That denotes some diligent prayer, that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for how long? By the space of 3 years and 6 months. Then it goes on to tell us in the book of James, and he prayed again. Now, I don't think that meant he didn't pray during that 3.5 years. I think on this subject, he prayed about the rain again. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So you know what the Bible's saying? God's prophet Elijah saw what was going on. God knew what was going on. Elijah prayed to God about it, and God sent the drought. And after 3.5 years, Elijah prayed about it, and God sent the rain, and the crops began to grow. Now, do you know, with everything that was going on, Elijah, being human, could have become very discouraged because of the conditions around him. Has anybody here ever become discouraged because of the conditions around you? I suspect we all have. There's another passage in the Bible. I know I've preached from it before, and I think it just fits in with this harmoniously, that the people got discouraged because of the way they were traveling and what was going on. That's our human nature, isn't it? They got discouraged when things were tough, and we can easily get discouraged when things get tough. So I'm telling you, Elijah, though he was a great prophet of God, could have gotten discouraged in this situation. He did soon thereafter when wicked Queen Jezebel threatened his life. That shows how sometimes we're weak and not so strong, doesn't it? Elijah prayed about the rain, and God answered his prayer. But when Jezebel threatened his life, Elijah sort of went to hide and got discouraged. But I want to give him credit in this case for being used of God to communicate with Ahab. And I believe when we talk about Elijah knowing how to pray, that even though he got discouraged At another time, it did not change the fact that he did what? He prayed for the rain to stop. God answered his prayer. He prayed for the rain to come. God answered his prayer. It's obvious that God heard and answered his prayer. Now, yes, Elijah could have prayed and God answered his prayer in some way Elijah wouldn't foresee. The same for you and me. But we need to have that faith, as I believe he did, that God will hear and answer prayer. Oh, I would say similarly to what I said before. I wouldn't put myself up on the pedestal like, oh, be just like me. I'm the greatest prayer warrior the world has ever seen. I don't think that would be appropriate. But let me ask you, do you take any time to pray? Do you talk to the Lord? It might be for a short time. It might be for a longer period of time. But do you talk to the Lord? Is it a habit in your life to talk to the Lord? Or do you have to every now and then think about, oh, maybe I should pray? You know what I think should be true? I think that it ought to be true in our lives that, I don't know if second nature is the right terminology, but it ought to come to us very easily that we at least make an effort to talk to God in prayer. And I've said it so many times, and it's true for me and you and all of us, we can pray anywhere, anytime, about anything. And I'm very serious and sincere about that. Don't you think that's true? We can pray anywhere, anytime, about anything. Now, obviously, I'm not advocating frivolous and silly stuff. That's not the point. But anything that's a serious concern or anything you want to be grateful and thankful to the Lord for, aren't you glad he can hear and answer prayer anytime? Wherever we are, no matter when it is. And so Elijah was used of God to communicate with Ahab. I think it's very significant that all this was taking place because the people did not have room for God in their lives. Yet God's prophet Elijah was being used of him even during that time with his communication with Ahab and Jezebel. So back to the scripture that we read in verse 41, just a few points of emphasis here. Elijah, in his communication with the king, said, you better eat and drink because I hear rain coming. Now, wouldn't that get your attention? Remember, there was famine. He said, you better get something to eat, better get something to drink, and where you can move on because there's a sound of abundance of rain. Abundance of rain. That's very similar to saying, Ahab, there's a rainstorm coming. And we all know in our lifetime what a rainstorm can be. And so that was the case right here. But don't you know we get everybody's attention? Can you imagine on the TV stations, even that if we went for 3.5 years without rain and they've been reporting on that week after week and month after month, wouldn't that be big news that rain comes? Well, that's for even now. But I would think in the life of the king, and anybody who might have heard about it from the king, this would be big news. But I wonder what his thought was. Maybe it got his attention because of what had taken place already. But Elijah made it very plain. You better do this. Now, did he? Yes. Verse 42 says he went up to eat and drink. But when he did that, what did Elijah do? Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Elijah had already been used of God when he had the big contest between God and the prophets of Baal. Mount Carmel. Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel. What did he do? He cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. To me, that is an act of humility. That is an act of humbling himself before God and in the presence of God. And he prayed to his God. Now, let me be picky. You can hear this from me or read it from someone else. This particular verse does not say specifically that he prayed at that specific time, but his actions indicate that he did, because I want you to remember we just read, or I read to you from the book of James, that he prayed about the rain. Okay? And so I believe that when he went to the top of the mountain and put himself down on the ground and put his face between his knees, I believe that he was humbling himself and communicating with his God in prayer. All right? So we see that right there. And then, let me ask you, did he have faith that God would answer that prayer? Yes, he did. He had faith that God answered the prayer. And he had someone, a helper, a servant, he's called right here, that he was able to speak to him. And he said, I want you to go look toward the sea. Why was he saying that? Because that maybe he'd see some rain cloud coming. That was the idea, I believe. And so he said, I want you to go and look toward the sea. So the man did what he was told to do. He went and looked, and he came back and said, Elijah, I don't see anything. Do y'all see that with me here? He said, there is nothing, didn't he? There's nothing. Well, think with me, folks. If Elijah had been like a lot of us, or a lot of other people, however you want to view it, you know what he could have done? He could have said, well, forget that. You know, I talked to the Lord about it. I've been wanting rain to come, and you went out there. You don't see any indication it might rain. I'm just going to give up. That's what people can do in life, right? They can. And I hope there's something good in here for everybody to grab hold of. Okay? So, instead of him doing that, though, when the man said, I don't see anything, he said, go again. Go again. You know what happened after the second time? Nothing. Y'all don't need me to do the count, do you? Third, fourth, fifth, sixth time, nothing. Wouldn't you have quit? Wouldn't a lot of people have quit by then? Wouldn't you have quit praying for so-and-so that needs prayer? Possibly. Wouldn't you have quit praying about this situation? Possibly. I'm trying to say in this message that Elijah was human, but he knew how to talk to God in prayer, and he didn't quit even when he didn't see an immediate answer to prayer. And neither should we, because remember, God knows when and how to answer our prayers. I'm not going to tell you that I've never been discouraged. Can you sit there and think honestly, oh, I'll tell everybody I've never been discouraged. Can you do that honestly? I doubt it. So we need to be encouraged from the Lord. And so he said, there's nothing. And so Elijah told him, for seven times, go back and do it. It's interesting in the Bible, seven deals obviously with completion and perfection. And so it was on that seventh time that something was different. We see that in verse 44. And I believe when Elijah told him to keep going back, that showed that Elijah was a man of persistent prayer and firm faith. And so on the seventh time, the man came back with a different report. Six times he came back and said, I don't see anything. I mean, the sky is clear. Maybe he said that. He said, I don't see anything. But the seventh time, and by the way, I don't know that it was a shock to Elijah. Somebody might say, oh, he was desperate. Or somebody might say, well, he was just trusting that God would answer his prayer if he just kept on praying. So on the seventh time, the man came back. And I wonder how he said it to Elijah. I wonder if he said, well, there's not much change. But I did notice one little thing. I noticed something this time I didn't see on all those other trips. I noticed a cloud. It was so little, it was like looking at the size of a man's hand over there in the sky. Now, how would you react if you'd heard that? I know how Elijah reacted. Elijah knew that when that man saw that little cloud represented big rain, didn't he? He knew that that little cloud indicated an abundance of rain. How do we know that? Because of his actions. And as soon as he heard that, he told his servant, you go and tell Ahab, get his chariot ready and get going, because the rain's going to stop you if you don't. That's pretty strong faith right there, isn't it? Pretty strong based on the indication right there. He saw that little cloud. Get going, Elijah, so that the rain won't stop you. And verse 45 tells us it came to pass in the meanwhile. I would think that would mean without any delay that the heaven or the sky became black. You know how it is in a big storm? The sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. You talking about a storm? It says it was a great rain. And so Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And I'll just comment in verse 46. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. I don't think God's hand on Elijah started right then. I think it started before then, don't you? And it was still on Elijah. And God's hand was on him through the years. And God's hand, if we may use that terminology, is on the hand of every one of his children. We are safe within his hand. And his hand of protection, his hand of power, is with every one of his children. So listen, let's please not forget. Bring it down to home. We don't need to come to church and hopefully listen to a message. And then it didn't do any good. Or I don't even know what he's talking about. But I hope there's more to it than that. I don't have power to change lives, but the God we're talking about can help you and you and you and everyone. Aren't you glad to know that? And so I'm trying to encourage us again to not give up. And when things get tough, it may be hard to put in practice, but don't give up. Just keep on talking to God in prayer and have faith that somehow He'll see you through. Somebody might say, well, how do you know that? Hasn't He taken care of you so far? So far? And His power never diminishes. So let me ask you today, are you, as an individual, a Christian? If you're a Christian, are you a person who prays? Do you have persistence? Do you have faith that's firm and stable? We need to never give up on prayer. And I'm telling myself that too, because you see, Satan would discourage us from praying if he has his way. I'm confident of that. But we need not give up. And remember that sometimes our prayers are answered after an extended period of time, because remember, God knows what's best. Remember that the little cloud in Elijah's day indicated that something good was about to happen. Remember, too, that the little cloud, that indicator of good, was not seen immediately. It was not seen until Elijah apparently kept on praying and until the man he sent looked to the sea for the seventh time. And so if God does not answer your prayer, whatever it's about, quickly, just remember that He knows what's best for us. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep the prayer line open. If we give up, we might miss the blessing of some answered prayer. If we give up, we might miss the blessing of some answered prayer. Let me give you just a couple of little anecdotes before I stop the message today. Some of you perhaps have heard me tell this before, and I would think not all of you have, but this is something that was a blessing to me. It might not mean much to you, but it was a blessing to me. There was a time I got a phone call unexpectedly, because there was a church I was pastor of at one time that had a couple that would come to the church, and I visited them at their house. The woman was a Christian, but her husband was not. My wife probably knows exactly what I'm talking about. The woman was a Christian. Her husband was not. I prayed for that man to get saved. But as time rolled by, we moved away from that area, and I had no ongoing contact with that couple. As far as I knew, that man was not yet saved. Therefore, after a good number of years went by, I was surprised in a good way when I got a phone call from them. They were both on the line, calling to let me know. This is from one state to another. Calling to let me know that the man got saved. Now, in my little story, I estimate that I prayed for him many times over a period of about 13 years. 13 years might not be very long for somebody else's story. It might not be long for some of your stories, but that was a blessing to me. Let me ask you, if you have a similar story or a similar experience in your life, isn't it a blessing to see what God can do? Now, I want to read to you a story where somebody prayed many, many times for her father. Let me read this to you, and then I'll be about through for today. The woman's name was Karen. She wrote what you might call a testimony, and her testimony was titled, "The Prayer I Prayed." Are y'all ready for it? "The prayer I prayed over 5,000 times. Here we go. "Wow, and praise Jesus resounded in my soul, and I rejoiced. I cried happy tears over a long-awaited answer to a prayer I prayed over 5,000 times. Yes, you read that right. No typos or extra zeros. You see, when my twin sister and I were little, our father disappeared from our life. My mom and stepfather took us to church, but we didn't understand much about God or prayer. Along about fourth grade, my dad reappeared and wanted to be a part of my life again. I'll never forget what he told me at 9 years old. People think there's a God, but there's not. Not understanding it at the time, I knew later my dad was an atheist. This confused my young heart, wondering, is God real and does He love me? Yet I was in church and Sunday school each week hearing about the God of the Bible. Then something wonderful happened. At 16, both me and my sister prayed to receive Jesus Christ as Savior at a church revival. 16 turned out to be sweet after all. That night as I crawled into bed, I decided to pray daily for my father to believe in God and accept Christ. Even though I was a young Christian, I missed very few days praying for my dad. Soon I went off to college and continued to pray and asked others to pray. My husband and I met on campus and were both called into ministry. My dad knew what we believed and how our lives centered around the Lord. But I admit my faith waned many times. My dad seemed hard-hearted and unreachable. So when I was a young woman, a mentor encouraged me to insert my father's name into scripture about salvation and pray it out loud. Fast forward a few years. We were having a birthday party for my paternal grandmother at her nursing home. Dad approached me. Who was that? Dad approached me, teary-eyed. "Karen, did you hear the news? I accepted Christ as my Savior." She said my heart hardly believed it. I was 32. A 16-year prayer finally answered. 16 long and often impatient years grew my faith in God and my firm belief in prayer. I thought that was a neat story. I hope you find it to be a neat story. Listen, the God who answered prayer in Elijah's day is the one that answered prayer in that woman's family. In many other families, he's done that. And we need to remember the importance of these things, what God can do. Listen, with God's help, we can be the people he wants us to be. We can. And we need to not get defeated if we don't see things happening immediately. What happened in Elijah's day? Things seemed to not be working around, although God was at work, until that seventh time when the man said, "I see a little cloud the size of a man's hand." I heard a preacher one time say, with respect to God's people, and it stuck with me. He said, "We need to see a cloud the size of a man's hand." So what do I get from that? Prayer and faith. I think you could look at either one there. We need to pray and have faith. So with God's help, let me wrap it up today. With God's help, we can be the people he wants us to be. Now, I need God's help. How about you? But with his help, we can be what he wants us to be. We can be people of persistent prayer. You don't have to be the greatest speech maker in the world if you talk from your heart to God. That's what prayer is all about. But we need to be people who don't forget to pray. And let's remember that God can give us encouragement. He can give us strength. He can give us guidance. He can still hear and answer prayer. And sometimes, maybe we need to build off of that faith and just see something little and know that God's still at work and he can do great things, even if we see a little cloud the size of a man's hand. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about what we need in our lives. Let that be a help to you, if you will. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer, please.